Welcome to the Border Princes podcast, a podcast where three man children waffle on about their favorite tabletop war games, mainly Warhammer Fantasy. I'm your host, Jeff, and today joining me in the virtual hot tub of Hoeth, to my left is a man for whom death is an employment opportunity, Mr. Jack Daniels Tequila.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And to my virtual right is a man who has no concept of the phrase self-regulation, a Mr. Sean Croker.
Hey buddy, how we doing?
Good. So I suppose now that we're part of the Eye of Horus network, I'm legally obliged to refer to you as Seanishell now.
Ah, yes. I am now Seanishell again.
Again. Okay. Anyway, so just a little bit admin before we begin the pod. We are part of the Eye of Horus network now. Tim from Eye of Horus has graciously decided to help us out just completely off his own back, which is great.
Yeah.
So you can find us on their feed now. You can still find us on our Podbean. We will continue to upload our episodes and our After Darks onto Podbean. Our After Darks will just be on Podbean. They won't be on the Eye of Horus because obviously the After Darks are just us talking shit.
And a lot of shit is said.
And a lot of shit is said. You can contact us at the Border Princes podcast at gmail.com if you want to send us like a list review, maybe some comments, maybe you want to call Sean a cheese dick, you want to have an argument with me. Surely no one's got anything to say about Jack because he's the strong, silent one who just sits in the corner of the room and behaves himself.
He's the nice one of the group.
he's the nice one. you can also find us on Instagram at the Border Princes podcast, where we're going to start uploading our whips. Go give us a follow there. I'll also send a link to the actual Podbean there. Yeah, and with that, boys, what's going on? How are you all feeling today?
Claustrophobic.
Claustrophobic. Why claustrophobic, Sean? Interesting. I know you're about 6'5". I assume no one has captured you and put you in a box.
Not until the New South Wales government does.
Hey, right, there we go.
I had to get one in. I had to. I had to do it early, right. Get it out of the way. I'm done. Thank you for listening.
So for anyone listening who may have been a bit confused by that that comment, New South Wales in Australia, more accurately, the greater Sydney area, which we all fall under, even though I live at least an hour away from you two.
Yeah, same.
Same, but different. Yeah.
Apparently, it's the same place. And it's mainly in Jack's area. So, Jack, if you could stop spitting at each other in people's mouths, that would be great.
Look, I'm doing the responsible thing by staying in my house and not going out there.
We appreciate it.
There are still people out there not wearing masks, and I don't understand why.
I'm sure Uber Eats is making a shit ton of money from you.
We don't talk about that here.
Are you one of their black members? Like the premium black members?
Yeah.
Free deliveries for life.
Yeah, they'll drive me wherever I want. I've bought that much food.
So that's under lockdown due to coronavirus.
Yeah, that's still a thing.
Still a thing in Australia, which is unfortunate. So that could affect the South of the Reich event. Dom Santilli, who is running it, has not given us... he has sort of prepared us for a statement. He has not... I assume at 11 o'clock tomorrow, he'll release his press statement.
Par for the course.
He will announce how many cases there have been in the past 24 hours and then regretfully tell us that South of the Reich is not happening.
Or have to
postpone. We're all kind of expecting it to happen at this point, you know.
Yeah, well that's
things were going so smoothly and then people started spitting in each other's mouths and this is where we are now.
It was the ones
and not in the fun way.
Yeah, exactly. No one was doing it in a fun way. They were just all hanging out at bloody Stocklands and putting their fingers in each other.
And again, not in the fun way.
And not in a fun way. Anyway, so Dom has said that the two events, so there is supposed to be one a month after. I know I went over that in the last episode, which I realize is not been released. Also, this episode could come out before our Skaven episode. So if you get a bit confused about, you know, different audio qualities and our attitudes, that's probably why. We could be smashing the two events together. So it'll either be 500 or 750. So boys, you better get cracking because you got to paint another 250 points worth of your armies.
That's easy.
Yeah, that should be right. I mean, I think both Sean and I finished our first 500. So
well, the only way we have to worry about is you, Jeff.
Well, I haven't even finished my 500 points. So let's talk about what we've actually been up to. So which one of you want to start? Let's go with Jack. Tell us what you have been up to.
Well, like I just said, I finished my 500 points and a little bit extra. So I probably have to paint maybe another 175 points for the event if it goes ahead to the 750 points.
Right. So what's your 750 list kind of look like? Obviously, cool. You and I will still be a tag team. So
yeah. Probably going to have some extra skeletons and just throw in a Vargul for points. It's a bit easier for me to get up to points, you know, with uni going on. By the time the event comes around, we'll be in full swing. So, yeah.
Yep. Cool. So then you got anything planned after that?
I've got a box of zombies I should probably do. And maybe some more Hex Wraiths or some Black Knights. Don't know.
See how the Hex Wraiths go.
Yeah.
I hope they're
such cool models. Cool models.
Kind of quick and easy to paint. So that's why I might do another five of them.
You just slapped a contrast blue one on
them. I did not throw a contrast paint on them, sir.
Shots fired.
They are heavily inspired by the Total War Hex Wraiths, though, aren't they? So they're
more spectrally rather than like everything painted like it should be, you know, bone, things like that.
Yeah, so like the horses are usually bone, like they usually write like ghost dudes riding
bone horses.
Yeah, which didn't make much sense to me since in like the books they're described as like just going through walls and everything. So
yeah,
I just painted them like big ghosts, simple.
Yeah, I suppose it's more representative than anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So how many skeletons have you painted now?
50
skeletons.
Yep, I've got 50 skeletons done.
How did you find painting them all?
Pain in the ass. For one,
pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a bit of time modifying them a little bit because I don't know if people know the normal skeleton pose is sort of a bit more hunched over, leaning forward.
Mm-hmm.
I modified their spines so they would stand upright a bit more, so they look a bit taller, so they should be a bit more in line with the new skeletons that I've got. So there shouldn't be too much size difference between them. Yes.
Okay, cool. Thanks for clarifying.
Yes, I am.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah,
painting, I just spent probably about a week and a bit on the front 10, and then the rest of them I sort of speed painted a little bit. So they're a bit lesser quality than the front ranks, but just to get them done in time before uni went back, I had to do that.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. So did painting 50 of them not drive you fucking crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely drove me crazy.
Dude, before I go on with... what I've been doing. Sean, what have you been doing? What have you been up to? You've finished your 500 points too, haven't you?
Indeed I have. So my little 500 Dark Elf is done, plus some extras and starting on some more. So extras I've finished was a repeater crossbow, a repeater bolt thrower.
Yep.
My apologies. So got him done and then in one night I went through and smashed out, putting together a unit of 30 spearmen, The next night, I smashed out and undercoated and pre-shaded and painted the first greeny layer.
First greeny layer. Okay, wow, I thought you were going to say you painted the entire thing.
Yes, and 10 more executioners, actually. I forgot about those. Yeah, they're in there too.
Okay. So you've chosen like a nice sea green. If anyone hasn't seen, did you put them up on the podcast Instagram, or have you just got?
I've got a little whip on the podcast one for now. I've got my master, that I painted up, the old metal executioner, champion. So
you're using my master. That as a noble, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm using that as my master. So he's pretty cool. I have got the nice green on the back of that. Yeah. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, I suppose I'll take some more work in progress photos. There's other bits and pieces I can pass out as well, I guess. I've got some photos of my pre-existing 500.
That's okay. I just wanted to comment, it's a really nice sea green you've chosen.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really big fan of turquoise at the moment. So what color is that? I'm curious.
So I used Vallejo game color, Scavvy Green.
Scavvy Green.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Over a pre-shade, I assume.
Yes, so undercoat black.
What animals do you?
Yeah, all about the airbrush. Did the pre-shade and then just a couple of, I think it was two or three very light layers over the top, and it just gave that natural, nice green, turquoisey sea green kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it's good. And it's not something that you tend to see Dark Elves painted like, because you usually see purples.
Very purple, yeah.
Or red sometimes. Mm. I know when I painted Dark Elves when I was a child, I had like red robes and gold armor. I suppose really just to emulate the Easterlings from Lord of the Rings.
I'll allow it. Nice.
Oh, you'll allow it. Great. I'm glad. I'm glad you allowed
something that you did many moons ago.
Something I did, nearly 20 years ago.
But yeah, I've also got a nice little mage coming along too. So her cape's coming along nicely.
Which mage have you used? The sort of the one that's available now? Or
no, so way back when, I've actually got, I'm pretty sure it's the Reaper Miniatures Ice Queen, I think.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to know what that miniature is, I will put a post up in the Border Princes. I'll put it on the Instagram of the Eye of Horus.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not Eye of hell. Yep.
No, Border Princes.
That one.
Separate one. Things sometimes.
Sorry. Shut up.
It's okay. So I suppose I better tell people what I've been doing. I have been painting my Beastmen the past couple of weeks. So I have finished my unit of 20 gores. So that's done. It's the first regiment I've ever painted. And I fucking hated it.
Why?
It's just... they're not Space Marines, I tell you. It's just weird. So I was thinking about this. I spent probably a lot of time doing them. And, I think I can smash out like a Imperial Fist squad in 12 hours flat. If I was just like to be given, someone's like, oh, here's a tactical squad, go for it. I'd be able to do it in 12 hours. But the gores, they just got like all these little fiddly bits. Like they've got bits of skin and shit. That was definitely interesting learning experience. I did airbrush their skin. I started off with a Indian Shadow from Scale 75.
That is such a nice paint.
Yeah, you just got the skin tone set, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the skin tone set, and it's just like that. Because I did the off topic, I do apologize for taking over, but I did St. Gilneas' face. I started that with the Indian.
Yep, good. It's got like, it's like a nice rosy kind of, it's a bit more purple than rose, but it's not really pink. It's not really purple. So, yeah, and then I sprayed over the top of that just thin layers of Rakarth flesh from GW Main. Or Citadel paints, rather. And then hit it, highlighted it with Pallid Witch flesh, just like really on their faces and their shoulders. So then that sort of naturally created like a nice shadow under their boobies and their abs and stuff. So, and then I cheated a lot because it was 20 of them. So I used a lot of contrast paints on them.
Hang on. Didn't you just put a bit of shade on Jack for using contrast paints?
Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
So my issue with contrast paints is like people who, and look, if you do it, that's fine. I don't care.
Well, clearly you do.
My issue with contrast paints is the fact that I don't think they're used for what they should be used for. So like most GW products, they put out all this crap and don't real just like, oh, this is, then they tell you what it's for when really it's not really for that. So, like, they've got those synthetic brushes at the moment. Why did GW sell it to synthetic brushes? Just for cheaper brushes, right?
I'm tempted to pick some up for my oil painting.
That's the thing. That's what they're for, right? They're for oils and enamels. GW don't make oils or enamel paints. They've marketed it as like, oh, it's really good for painting really small details. Go and get some. And, you know, they're selling them at probably like three times the amount of than they should. And they still be making a fucking profit. Anyway, what was I talking about? Contrast paints.
Contrast paints before I derailed you for talking shit.
So I am a big fan of certain contrast paints. So basically all the browns, they're fucking great.
And there's a lot of browns.
Yeah, there is. So the Snakebite Leather is fantastic. Great paint.
They have these Wildwood?
The Wildwood in particular, yeah. So the Wildwood I did use on like the actual wooden parts of like their axes and stuff, but I also used it. A couple of them have like flayed faces on their belts, or some of them have like half a human head just like on their chest, like around a little neck band.
Really?
Yeah, they're real, and like it's like half their jaw is fucking missing. It's fucked up if you think about it. But I diluted the Wildwood and actually used it as like a really sickly sort of base color for the skin, and then just highlighted it up with like Sunny Skin Tone from Vallejo. And it created like this really gross, dead skin thing, and then just put like a little bit of like blood for the blood god sort of in little patches and made it look like dry blood. But what did you use? Like, you use Wildwood for the leathers, don't you, Jack?
Yeah, I use that for the leather on the majority of my skeletons. Just quick and easy to do, and to be honest, has a pretty good result. As long as you put a bit of care into the way you lay the contrast paints down, you can get some pretty nice results, like, straight away.
Yeah.
Going back on the point you used... Sorry, Jack. Jeff, you go.
No, you please, Sean. Sean Michelle, please interject. Derail my fucking conversation.
No, I was just going
to
say...
What do you want to talk about?
It's like what you're saying with the GW bringing out products that are actually supposed to be what they're for, right? So yeah. I see the contrast paste is not, like, smash it on there in one thick coat like what it was sold as. They're more like a glaze.
I say yes and no.
They are. Yeah. They are very. They are quite translucent.
Again, I've never actually used any of the contrast paints. Being 100% honest.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
You should definitely give them a go. I think they have a lot of potential.
Mm.
Yeah, just you got to think of outside the box a little bit. Like what the problem is, I have an issue with is the way they sold it was like, oh, buy 100 Primaris Marines and slap Ultramarine Blue.
One whatever thick the blue coat. Was.
One thick coat of Gilliman Blue and you're fucking done.
It's going to look worse if you do it that way.
Honestly, on big flat plates, it looks hideous. I use the turquoise. I really like the pterodon turquoise.
Yeah, I know you used that quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I used it as like a spot color, and like on any cloth, and so like they have like little loincloths, and some of them have like half tarug things, and just like on their bums, the bits on their bums were the problem because like it's like this just big curved sort of flat area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it kind of looks kind of dumb, but
a similar issue I had with the skeletons, where like their cloth on their body is just sort of all one piece. There's no real definition between what's cloth and what's bone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just sort of flows.
I suppose it is like an older kit. I had an issue painting my fucking Rohan. Some of the fucking details were fucked. It was a hideous Rohan kit. Anyway. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we know they're not the most detailed models because they're quite old. They're really old. Those Rohan models
20-ish years old. Yeah,
they're 20 years old now. But even like the casting isn't super great. Like there's bits that have been miscast. Like their faces just sort of like meld into something else. Like it's fucking.
That's just down to the way the molds were designed. It's really unfortunate because it's a very popular game and.
I have trouble highlighting the contrast though. Like I chuck like to highlight the pterodon turquoise, I chucked a bit of pale blue gray in, blue pale gray. Don't know, Vallejo have 3 or 4 different paints that are called the same thing.
And it's the same three words but in different arrangement.
Yeah, just a different arrangement.
That's like pale gray blue.
Yeah, they just pick a bunch of words and they rearrange them. And like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, that works.
Well, to be fair, how many paints do Vallejo have?
Too many.
Too many. They also have too many lines as well.
Vallejo model.
Although, Scale 75 have their own version of the contrast paints now.
Oh, do they?
They do. I think they're called Instant Color.
Instant Color, yeah. So they could be useful. I'd like to try some. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you can just have like a massive fucking paint collection.
Yeah, and
like,
well,
you're just like, oh, that's
by the time you get to using
them,
they're
going
to be dead.
Yeah,
they're
going
to be dried up. That's what happened to me. So,
yeah, so I've got.
I can go through a lot of decayed metal from Scale 75 on everything.
Well, that's the thing.
There's Scale certain paints that you can just chew through because it's so good for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, I base any metallic with decayed metal, steel or gold.
How much of the
that
primer do you use, Jeff? That black primer.
The Vallejo primer?
Yeah.
A fucking shit ton. I bought like a big bottle this time.
Yeah, it's like a 200ml bottle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big boy.
it's
and
a big chunk.
Worth every penny, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, there are certain paints you're going to use more than others. I always have extra varnish and shit sitting there. Yeah. Fucking Tamiya X20A, the thinner, was really difficult to get for a little bit.
That. Yeah.
So I just, last time, when I found it available, I bought two big boy bottles straight away.
Yeah.
So, man, just COVID, eh?
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, so I actually... I committed myself to doing an hour of hobby... every day this week.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, just to try it out. And I actually cheated because I failed immediately on Monday. I didn't do any on Monday. But in saying that, I was editing our first episode of the podcast.
I count that as hobby.
It counts in a sense. It did take me a while to figure it out. By the time I was done sort of sorting everything out, I was like, fuck this. I need to go to bed. but what I did was I did catch up on Tuesday. So I got home from work. I did 3 hours actually. And I was like, I won't do Wednesday. And I did a couple of hours yesterday. I got up and did a little bit today. So I've got 5 Ungors Ungor Raiders that are nearly done. I've just got to finish their bases and they'll be done. So I'll have 2 units ready.
Yeah, you showed us that earlier, man. That creepy. Love it.
Yeah, the Ungors were... So you probably noticed that the skin is a little more consistent this time. With the Gores, I kind of experimented with a lot of different washes. And here's the thing about GW washes. They stain the crap out of skin. They stain the crap out of everything. But if you've got like this super light color, don't just go fucking dunk it. So I've got this thing about painting skin at the moment where I'm trying not to use, like when I'm painting faces, like human faces, I try not to use too many washes now.
Okay. What? So just because it's a lot of effort to like color correct afterwards.
Yeah. And tends to, like I usually have like a good color, going, and I don't really want to ruin that. And yeah, it can be an issue to color correct. So I painted Theoden recently and I didn't use any washes on his face.
That Theoden does look pretty sick, man.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
I appreciate that. He was a pain in the ass to paint.
Not used to paint something that small?
No, I'm not. But him and the new AMR, even though they're scaled up, they're actually very, very detailed models.
Mm.
So, yeah, sort of same thing with... The Ungors were just a joy to paint. I didn't hate myself as much painting them as I did the Gores.
I imagine that'd be a little bit easier because there's less fur on them as well.
Yeah, there's a bit less fur. Their shape, the way that their bodies are shaped are a little more like... a little better, I guess, because the Gores kind of... They're big boys. They kind of have to... They kind of like squished in. Their poses are kind of squished in. Even though they're on...
so they can rank up properly.
Yeah, even though they're on 25 mil bases. So they're kind of like... They're like almost standing at attention. Whereas the Ungors, they have slightly more dynamic poses. So I could actually get in under their armpits. So after I did the Pallid Witch Flesh, I went in with a bit of Karaberg Crimson and just redefined the shadows under them. And then I used Karaberg Crimson so I glossed the skin first. And then I went in and to just targeted areas with Karaberg Crimson just to redefine like in between the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're basically their shadows. And then just was really careful with where I was placing it. And if I noted any place where it sort of splashed on a flat area, I just wiped it off because, like, you know, you gloss it and you can just sort of.
You got a bit of time to do that.
Mm. Yeah. So, if there's. Is there a Karaberg Crimson gloss? Because I'm going to get it.
That I have no idea.
Because I know there's Agrax and Nuln Oil. And the Nuln Oil gloss. Actually, speaking of paints that I use a lot of, Nuln Oil gloss, I fucking go through a lot.
Nuln Oil in general.
Yep.
Well, I mean, no one would.
They're great washes.
No one would disagree with that. But the plain Agrax, I don't care for anymore.
Oh, really?
Fair enough.
No, I think it's just it leaves a disgusting. Like, I know that's the point of it. It's kind of like a dirty wash.
Mm.
But it leaves like this disgusting stain on everything. I'm really not into it.
Okay. Interesting.
Whereas the gloss seems to have a bit more warm tone. In it? I don't know if there's anyone. Am I going crazy?
I haven't used the gloss one, so I can't really comment.
You wash your
gold. I think because it doesn't have the matting agent in there. I think that's why.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You wash your gold
yourself
with it.
When you mat a model, it tends to lose a lot of its vibrancy.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess the gloss Agrax is sort of getting like pure Agrax color out of it.
Yeah. That's a good point. So I put together, so in my hour of hobby every day, I put together the Bray Shaman as well.
Oh yeah.
I started painting him. And
is that the one where you get starter box?
Yeah. He's a cool model. Nice.
What's the sculpt like?
It's good. It's got like, it's definitely like a newer GW kit. Like it's got all those weird bits where you attach it. Like his head and a bit of the cloth is like separate, and then his horns and a bit of hair is separate. His cloak is in two pieces. Like it's got that weird sort of thing that they've been doing for the past few years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a bit, bit of a newer sculpt now, isn't it? A few years ago.
Yeah,
now?
It's 2 years ago, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, okay. I'm definitely a fan of the model. Now that I've seen it in person, I like it a bit more. But he's gone in the freezer. I'm going to pull him apart and spray.
Oh no!
It all individually. Because I wasn't happy with.
You're
what
a madman.
I got time.
It's how you break super glue, isn't it?
Put no, it in the freezer? Painting it all separately and then building it.
Oh yeah, it's a pain. Yeah, no, it's going to be painful, but it's going to have a better result than the way that I was doing it. He's just got two. He's like two enclosed, and there's flowing shit everywhere. It's quite frustrating. Anyway, so yeah, and I've got another 5 Ungol Raiders. I've ordered the Zealot Miniatures Minotaurs now.
Yes.
Yeah, so my 5 round list has changed quite dramatically.
Yes.
I wrote a really nasty combination. Like I put a Ruby Ring of Ruin on my Bray Shaman.
Of course you did.
With the Hag Tree Fetish.
Sean of Shell approves.
Yeah. But then I wanted to switch the Minotaurs in, and then I was left with basically just the Gores and one unit of 5 Ungors. So I was like, I'll drop the magic cheesiness and
no.
Well,
more cowbell
indeed. Yeah, I don't really want to just be like, oh, see that unit 24 inches away? All our magic attacks are re-rolled in the magic phase. All our attacks are re-rolled to wound in the magic phase. Mm. And just throw fucking fireballs at someone, just delete units and just have that re-roll. I was like, I mean, it's something I'll keep in my pocket for later, but...
we're going to see lots of Ruby Rings. We know that.
Well, now that we've sort of announced our displeasure, maybe not.
I don't know.
I'm still taking it.
No, people are going to do it to spite us now.
Yeah, maybe. Sean's still taking it. Well, you and I aren't even running any magic items now, are we?
No. I dropped all mine just to fit more boys fit in. A few extra skellies in.
Yeah, okay. So, I should mention, if you listen to us and don't listen to Eye of Horus, go and listen to Eye of Horus. They've got heaps of content there, all, heresy related. Yeah. But they got Necromunda, they have, Battlefleet Heresy or Battlefleet Gothic and, Titanicus. And they just did a, episode the other night. Which was
with the great
educational. Gordini. Yeah. Is he? How's he going? We should. How you do a little boyfriend update? How's he going? Has he finished his 500 points? Or?
Not quite. So if you know of the great Gordini, he has just smashed out 12 Titans in 4 weeks.
Yeah. What a monumental effort.
Yeah. That's
really the power of. Just not working for a while.
The power of lockdown.
Yeah.
He's still working, but he's locked in his house. So, yeah. Other than that, like he's I dare say he's started some of his Skaven. Got some built and all that jazz, but he's just keeping it very hush-hush at the moment.
Okay, righto. He doesn't want to show up and everyone get upset about his pocket plague claw catapult. Fuck. Seashells. Seashells.
You're supposed to do your warm up.
Stumbling my words.
Yeah,
it's because we just want to give you shit.
I know.
All right, cool, sweet. Well, I guess if the event doesn't happen, it's kind of irrelevant whether or not people's 500 point lists are.
If it doesn't happen, I'll just end up going to the 750 for the next month.
Yes, so now I have to figure out what.
Well, that's a maybe, isn't it?
Looks like.
How many more pork rockets can you fit in your list?
There'll be one. There'll be definitely one.
Delicious.
I was going to put a beast like a BSB in, but I don't think I can fit it with like the points allowances.
Yes, I was tempted to put a BSB in, but I'm like, nah, because the 750 list I want to rock out and have a sorceress with the stabby dagger for extra power dice.
Oh, so more spearmen and... less spearmen, more power dice.
No, adding spearmen. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry,
I get you.
You get what I'm saying. So you run a horde.
Wait till you kill so many that you fail your leadership test and run off the board. Because that has happened before.
To shit players, maybe. Remember who I am.
It didn't
unlucky players. Very unlucky.
I remember. Remember when I played Dark Elves that one time?
No.
And vaguely. My sorceress turned into a dragon.
Oh, yeah, with that. I do. Grey area. I don't know if I like that spell.
Oh, Transformation of Kaidon.
Transformation of Kaidon. Yeah.
I've got like a big boner for the Lore of Beasts.
Naturally.
So, Savage Beast of Goros?
Horos.
You do that and you just give all your, like, you run like a little sort of a character bus, and suddenly your front rank's all got like +3 attacks and +3 strength. And I just popped down an assassin at the same time and turned into a dragon. How did I get away with that?
Because I gave you a model to use as a dragon.
You did. But
didn't use my Carnosaur, I think.
No, how did I actually physically get those spells off? That's what I'm more curious about. I don't remember. Maybe it probably happened in subsequent sort of movement phases. Anyway, magic phases. Good game.
It's been a while now since we've played a game.
Oh, yeah, ages. Has anyone... I know it seems about a bit of a stupid question, but... no one's played any games in the past couple of months?
No.
That'd be no? Okay. I know it seems a bit foolish, but I don't know if you realize, but between now and our first episode was technically like 2 or 3 months. No one else knows that.
Well, now everyone
like
knows
who
that.
Now?
Way to date it, man.
Oh, I'd be right.
you gave away our secret.
Episodes in the can. Yeah, okay, so what was I going to... Oh, so I don't know if you guys saw a little bit of news, boys, but Warhammer Community teased our dicks a little bit.
Oh, and then some.
Did they ever? My
yeah,
goodness.
I don't know why they do that. Like, just stop. Stop the whole...
It's like they fondled before they even got to the shaft.
Yeah, it's like they came along at the pub, grabbed your balls, and just said goodbye.
Is that a British thing? You know, just teasing and teasing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go.
Well, British birds. Horrible. No, not really. I don't know any.
Do we have any UK listeners that can answer that?
Maybe. Maybe they can. Maybe they... Oi, yeah. It's so hard when I'm at the club. I was trying to think of the club they all go to in Geordie Shore, but I can't remember.
Stop the voice now.
Stop before I get in trouble. Also, once Tim graciously put us on the feed, we went from like 30 listens to like 800. I just want to put that out there. And thank you. I just want to shout out the 3 people in Poland that are listening to us right now.
Yes.
Please email us and tell us if you're enjoying it.
Or if you understand our stupid Australian banter.
Jack is a particular fan of Poland.
Well, yeah. My family comes from there.
A shout out.
Huh?
Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say dziękuję to the Polish listeners. Good to have you listening.
I don't know what that means, so I hope you didn't swear at them.
No, I did not.
Bitchka.
Good op.
Chrubidubi. I probably butchered those words. Are they Polish or are they just general Eastern European nonsense?
Well, they're Polish.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
And a shout out to the 8 people listening to us in the unknown regions.
Yeah, when you said that, that's like, what?
Yeah.
I would like to know what the unknown region is. Is it somewhere?
Yeah, I want to know what they are.
Exists, but we're just not supposed to know about it.
That's the thing. I could ask, I could say, hey, if you're from the unknown region, please email us in. But they probably don't know they're in the unknown region.
Well, maybe we list the countries that we do know where people are from.
Yeah, okay. Hang on. Let me just bring up the metric.
Because I'm very interested in knowing where these people are coming from.
United States, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Sweden, New Zealand, Germany, Ireland, Netherlands, India, Ukraine, Norway, Poland, Switzerland, Denmark, Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Spain, France, Hungary, Estonia.
Hey.
One listener from Japan and one listener from Russia. So if you are not from those countries and you've been listening to us, please email us. Hopefully not with any kind of phishing schemes or like, you know, tell me my, Nigerian uncle is ready to donate me $1 million. So yeah, anyway, that was my rant.
So just quickly touching back on the Warhammer community page teasing us, how do you guys feel about that?
Look.
Well, should we recap it quickly for people who don't know?
Go what over the tease real quick. Was? Go over real quick because we're going to have a big discussion, in-depth discussion about it with Tim from Eye of Horus.
We've
on
had
Sunday.
Technically, if you're.
Yeah. At this stage, we would have had. Sorry, we're talking retrofuturistically. So, Jack, you give a little recap.
So they basically confirmed that it is square bases. It is not 10 or 15 millimeters scale like people were rumoring. It's going to be the same scale that it was. And it's going to be a strange amalgamation of rules from 3rd edition up to 8th edition. So that's going to be an interesting part.
Warhammer Fantasy Greatest Hits.
Yeah, pretty much. And it takes place hundreds of years before the end times. So,
which I dare say is a big relief for a lot of people, including myself.
I think so. Definitely for me too. I was very concerned it was going to be a bit janky. But
End of times too. End times two.
I was a bit concerned that Electric it might have Boogaloo. Been just before, just after. Fuck you guys. I was concerned it was going to be just after end times because it wouldn't have been like that weird what's going on phase.
Have you seen? There was like a community project for ages. It was like after the end times. Like it. What happens is like a big vortex that everyone gets sucked into, right?
Mm.
And it's like Carl Franz and Archaon just embracing each other into the void.
Mm.
And so they've written it so like the invasion happens, the world gets fucked up, but then it's kind of like this post-apocalyptic scenario where all the basically the remnants of whatever factions are around sort of have to band together and get along.
Well, that's why the Dark Elves and the High Elves had to get back together, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't want to talk about that story. Although, I don't know. Now, I do think it was kind of compelling when it came out, and Malekith was like, "Oh, like the Phoenix Crown was stolen from him." I was like, "Yeah, that's a cool storyline," but I know that people really don't agree with that, so I might be in the minority. Maybe the rest of the story involved around that wasn't as cool, but I kind of like that sort of bit, but yeah, it's like I can't remember what it's called, but it's set after the end times, and it's kind of like this weird post-apocalypse, so like the Northern Empire is completely fucked
like it always
everyone
was
sort of, everyone sort of lives in the World's Edge mountains, and it's sort of like I don't know, I thought it was really compelling sort of theme, scenario, whatever. So yeah, sorry, Jack. Is there anything else you want to say about the Warhammer community article?
Yeah, they're called orcs and not oryx. That's about it.
Great.
That's the last thing they got there.
That was at the top of my list of things that I gave a shit about. What we were
exactly.
Orcs.
I'm really excited that they said you can still use your old armies if you still have them. And didn't burn them.
But you can also buy everything again. They're going to... I actually have a theory. Like, I kind of have a theory that maybe they just... I probably shouldn't go into this too much.
We can talk about it with Tim.
We'll save it for Tim.
Yeah.
Save all our...
I'm going to do a little
foil
research.
Hat conspiracies.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little research because I'm very interested about the bit that was like an amalgamation of rules between 3rd and 8th edition. So I need to go and look at what the sort of main mechanics were between 3rd and 5th, because I've got no fucking clue.
The only thing that I'm interested with that is I believe in one of the editions, heroes couldn't join units. They just sort of floated around.
Maybe that was the 3rd edition. Obviously 1st and 2nd edition are more like roleplay games.
Yeah. I'm not sure which edition had it like that, but I saw a couple of videos on YouTube
a while ago. Every time that you and I talk about past editions of tabletop games, you always make that claim, though.
I need to find it and I need to show you. It is somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's about as much as we're going to go into it.
If you want more information.
Yeah.
Oh, if you want more information, check out our episode, our crossover episode with Tim from the Eye of Horus. I'm not sure what he's calling his thing anymore. I don't know if it's like North of the Reich or whatever.
Meh, we'll find out when we actually talk to Tim.
Yeah, we'll find out. So yeah, listen to that. Yeah. Hopefully.
Stay tuned or go back.
Go back in time, or if you have listened to it, thank you.
If you haven't listened to it,
I don't apologize.
It's Tim's fault.
That's not his fault. All right, so no games played, no games being played, which is upsetting.
It's very sad.
So I guess we're in that sort of area again in our lives. Yeah, so I guess does anyone else got any topics for us? Otherwise, we're gonna end it. We're gonna have a break and go on to our main segment for this evening, which is going to be we're gonna do like a terrain focus, and we're gonna start off with our namesake, the Border Princes, which spoilers isn't as interesting as I thought it was.
You're not supposed to say that.
So after our musical break, we'll come back with Terrain Talk.
Oh,
We're back from whatever music I put on.
It was a banging beat, man. Seriously, wow.
It probably was very entertaining. It probably wasn't Eric Clapton's It's in the Way That You Use It at all. Anyway,
see, now you have to put that song on.
now I'm obliged to. This is our vat of acid episode.
Did you say acid?
Yeah, vat of acid.
Okay.
Do I need to repeat myself?
Yes.
I'm not repeating myself. we're going to talk about, we're going to do like a little terrain focus. We'll probably keep doing things like this. So we're going to focus on the Border Princes, which obviously is where we take our namesake from. Just for any of you playing at home, the Border Princes is not nearly as interesting as I thought it was. So I may regret this.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak place.
It's a pretty bleak place. So Jack is gonna take it, and he's going to give us a little bit of a lore dump.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Give us some ideas for terrain. Sean may or may not interject. I don't know. I'm just gonna.
Let oh, you on. Know, I will.
It's in his nature to do it. I'm just gonna
sit back, and you can all listen to the dulcet tones of Mr. Chuck Daniel Tequila.
Alrighty.
Dulcet tones.
So, the Border Prince Confederacy. It's also known as the Borderlands, the Frontiers, or simply the Border Princes. It's a vast region within the Old World, located between the Black Mountains and Blackfire Pass to the north, and the shores of the Black Gulf to the south. The region is a vast wilderness and is home to a multitude of petty human kingdoms, orcs and goblin tribes, and the dwarven stronghold Barak Vaar. So in this region of the Old World, there is a variety of topography and climates, which can allow for some interesting terrain choices, as well as themed tables to suit. There are a few concepts that would work for this area, such as an arid wasteland, a goblin-infested forest, a coastal fishing village, or even some old dwarven ruins. Now, one thing that's really important with fantasy terrain is often less is more, while in other systems, a dense amount of terrain might be ideal, as units tend to be individual models or they move in coherency more akin to a skirmish game. In Warhammer Fantasy, units can sometimes be up to 50 models or more, and maneuvering unit trays can be difficult on terrain-dense tables. And this can often detract from the enjoyment of the game.
Hey, Jack, just a quick one, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
50 models. Who's playing small hordes and not going 100 deep?
Look, that's why I said or more.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to clarify. Sorry.
Yeah. Some armies are going to be 10 wide, 10 deep. I don't know. Maybe not 10 deep, but still.
Oh, Jeff, you need to do an Ungor unit that big.
After painting those Ungors, maybe I will. Maybe I'll do like a little Ungor. I've got a little cheeky idea of running Morgor just with a horde of Ungors and then just like turning a dude into a spawn every turn.
You're an ass. I love it.
He can do that?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So every turn... Wow, that's kind of cool. It's every turn in the magic phase, you have to remove a friendly model within 12 inches of him. It can be anything you want. And on a 3-up, it gets turned into a spawn and you place it 3 inches away from Morgul.
I'll buy you a box of plastic spawn.
Wow.
I saw that face only if you do a horde unit of 10 by 10.
Oh, that's a lot of dudes.
Well, how about we compromise and I do 50?
In one unit?
Sure.
Let's go 75 and we'll call it a deal.
75? I'm not doing 75. I'll do 50.
That's fucked. I wouldn't even pay that many skeletons.
Because I've got another cheeky idea of running 50 along with a Doomball or a Gorble just to give it frenzy.
Can they join units that are on a smaller base size?
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. They there's can. No reason to. It oh, just means okay.
I didn't know that.
They don't get Lookout Sir, right? So someone could.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, okay. So feasibly someone could snipe him with a cannon. But then you've got 50 frenzy spearmen, uncores, and with bestial rage. so they have hatred as well. Anyway, it's a fucking stupid idea, but so, yeah, okay. I will paint. I will pledge to paint 50 Ungors, and you owe me a box of spawn.
I'll give you half a box.
That's only one spawn.
Paint 100 and get 2.
Oh. That's right. I'll pay for the other half of the box. There you go.
All right. So I'm pledging to paint 50 Ungors and I get a box of spawn.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Done.
Now, and you know what the harder part about that is? I got to find Morgul. I got to find a model of Morgul.
Yeah. He's not going to be easy to find now.
No, no, he's not.
Someone will probably do a proxy of him. I don't know. I'm sure I could. I'm sure someone will fight him off.
Yeah, you'll find
anyway,
one.
Anyway, sorry.
Hey, sorry to derail you.
What the hell were we talking about? The Border Princes.
That's a thing. So, just a general idea for a table from this region. I sort of thought, you know, you might do, obviously for a 6x4 table, you do like 2 or 3 rocky outcrops and probably about the same amount of forests.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it sort of gives you a piece of terrain for each section of the table. So, just a little bit of way of making some rocky outcrops. And they can be pretty simple to make. You can get some hard foam from Bunnings and sort of just carve it to look like rocks. And then you can take some aluminium foil and just sort of like mash it all over to sort of give the texture of rock.
Yep.
I've seen it done by quite a lot of YouTubers and it does look really nice.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very interesting.
And then obviously you want to seal your foam because if you spray it with rattle can, it's going to start eating into the foam. So just a bit of thinned out PVA, give it a couple of coats just to protect it. And then you can just paint it however you like. And if you want, you can add some sand and some smaller rocks just for a little bit of extra detail.
So what you're saying is the Border Prince is essentially just like, it could be anything.
It's nothing special. Exactly. It's pretty much what I'm telling you here is this going to be generic terrain shit you can do. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, if you wanted to make it a bit more detailed, you could probably add some bits and bobs that are, like, to that region, you know? Like, if you're doing a fishing village, you can do, like, a wharf or something, you know? Something like that.
Mm, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned the... What was the Dwarven Stronghold you were mentioning?
Barak-Var.
Barak-Var.
It's like a central trading hub.
Yeah, it's the only harbour the dwarves have. It's, like, their main trading... hub.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. So, like, you could do, I don't know, like a door, like a door into a dwarf hold, or even because there's like orcs and goblins in the area, you could do like a door that's been defaced, maybe with like, you know, a bit of gubbins and whatever.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Because
I think doing anything in a city is going to be really hard and quite difficult to play on.
Yeah. The Border Princes has like a few like interesting points of interest. Wow.
You do English good.
Words. No, we're going to keep that.
Yeah,
we're gonna keep that. Interesting points of interest.
Yeah, I sound fucking stupid. So
welcome to my life.
Border Princes uncut. Ooh. So yeah, sorry, Jack. What were you talking about? You just keep going.
No, buddy. It's all right. It's all right.
There is like a few points of interest in the Border Princes. So there's like there is like a little swamp village. Golthax Hold, which is kind of like it's populated by like these swamp skimmer people, that like explore the mires and try to find like ancient treasure. And you know, there's also greenskins around the place, so they're pretty hardy. Not that you're gonna model the people, but you could have like a swampy table, you know, and a couple of like really rustic type of houses on stilts or something.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to see, actually.
Actually, houses on stilts, you could probably use the Lake Town terrain from the Lord of the Rings range.
Yeah
that'd be
thing.
Pretty good, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could
that. Would
that.
Work well. Mm-hmm. That comes with, like, some little boats, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just make, yeah, like, put some nice extra moss and shit on it. Make it look a little more gross, you know?
Yeah, it just comes down to the way you paint it as well.
Exactly.
There is another area that I'm particularly keen on because I'm a bit of a fan of H.P. Lovecraft. It's this town called Pendor Hill. And Pendor Hill is just like a regular old village. So you just run a village. But it's actually populated by like this Tzeentch cult. And they're waiting for the signal from their god to rise up. So I don't know what you would do for that because it just looks like a village. But I mean, maybe you could like hide some if you really really keen on, you know, the little details. Maybe put some like you know, anti religious sort of propaganda around, or you know, maybe make you can make, I don't know, if you're really keen, you can make, you can get one of those those lake town houses, pull it apart and put like a little altar in it or something. Like,
yeah,
places
cool.
People are getting sacrificed.
Well, things like that as well. Like, I'm pretty sure you could go and find like some 3D printing stuff. There you go, for find some buildings and do things like that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, of course you can.
Because sky's the limit's really when it comes to the terrain side of things.
Well, I mean, if you're a little bit tech savvy as well, you might even have a go at designing your own terrain.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're using something like ZBrush or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Actually, there's a... Keep talking. Ignore me.
Okay. All right. So we're going back to the forest just quickly.
Mm.
So something like a forest is pretty simple and straightforward to make. You can find trees from a multitude of companies. Just to name a few, you can get like trees from Notch or Woodland Scenics. And pretty easy thing you can do is you get some MDF or foam core sheets from like a hobby or art store. And then you can cut it to suit the size of the footing of your forest. And then you can just glue the trees on there and then decorate that large base however you want to match your battle mat or your table. And you can paint these trees any way you like. And if you want to spend a bit more money, you can get trees that are already painted and flocked. But it obviously comes down to what your budget is and what you're willing to do. And as we mentioned before, like an easy way to expand on this or to add some interest and replayability to your table, you can look at a variety of different buildings, agricultural features, and roads and rivers. So as Jeff was mentioning about buildings, you could look at buildings such as towers or houses, and these can be made from scratch or sourced from places online. You could even find some 3D files and print them yourself or design some yourself.
There's plenty of
no, patrons, go for it, yeah.
There's like patrons out there that would have it as well. Like the 3D designing, like you just click on their Patreon, subscribe to those, and then print them out as well.
Yeah,
so you have to go through. Yeah,
I know you're the oldest member of the group, Sean, but you don't need to have a seizure every time you want to say something.
I'm concentrating. Shut up.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Sean is painting right now.
Yeah, you two are the tech wizards. I'm just the one that's just the third member of the group, just to try and round it out.
The tech wizards. Yeah. Okay.
So you're the token old man.
Technomancy.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, Jack, keep telling us your terrain ideas, please.
So you don't have to limit these things to just human designs, human architecture. As we spoke about before, orcs, goblins, and dwarves also inhabit this region. So if you want, you can run wild with your imagination, have some fun with it. Was there anything you wanted to say about terrain, Jeff? I know you were speaking about Nekaharan lore
earlier. So in the lore, there's actually evidence of that. That was like in the Kemrian or the Nehekaran Empire, there were actually colonies there. So I thought something interesting would be to do is just have like this really anachronistic table where you could be like a lush sort of or like sort of table, just like Greenland or whatever, or maybe even like a farm, and like. Hedgerows and whatever are quite easy to make. You can just make them out of like a bit of floor mat. You know, there's a few interesting tutorials on how to do that because they obviously simulate like a field.
A lot of Flames of War stuff, they used to do that.
Yeah. Old school sort of miniature modeling. But I thought maybe a cool idea would be to, you know, have like a master bar, like a step pyramid or something, just in the middle of a farm, like kind of thing.
Just an like abandoned relic, you know, it's just there and they've built around it.
Yeah, like a tomb or something. Just really weird, anachronistic type of thing, like Egyptian architecture, just like in a forest or something. I don't know. I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And the cities are quite different. So if you think about the rest of the Southern Realms, which is Estella and Telia, which are effectively Spain and Italy analogies, we could kind of think of the border princes, or at least the southern coast. Like, so there's Myrmidons, which is like the biggest city. We can kind of think of that as sort of like maybe Greece. So you could, if you were really keen on sort of like maybe your siege battles or whatever, because Myrmidons is actually, so in lore, suggests that its main sort of trading commodity is like marble. So you could have like, so you could, you know, maybe if you're playing a siege or whatever, you could have big, nice marble walls, or you could have...
That'd look amazing.
Yeah, nice sort of classical Grecian architecture with some like frescoes painted on. I know that's probably going on a bit too much in detail, but those are some ideas for you. And obviously...
Just got to get the powerful Dom in on it, man. Get him to get to it.
Yeah. Maybe I'm sure he's under the pump enough. He doesn't need any more work. But yeah, there's sort of some ideas. Sort of like in the lore, if you go read like any Gotrek and Felix, because I think they go around the border princes a bit, and any like role playing games, they'll go into like sort of the more weird and wacky characters in the border princes. So there's like a little principality that's known as New Britonia. So essentially, any sort of like earthen biome you could kind of imagine in the border princes. Whereas originally, when I thought of the border princes, I thought of this sort of semi post apocalyptic kind of wasteland, just like medieval. It's kind of not as interesting.
Well, parts of it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's orcs and goblins.
Maybe closer to the Badlands, yeah.
Yeah, closer to the Badlands. Like, the whole point of the Border Princes was it's like a grouping of principalities that, you know, a bunch of people got together after, like, there was a big battle. Was it Blackfire Pass, or is it a different?
Blackfire Pass sounds familiar.
Well, they always fight at Blackfire Pass.
It's the gateway to the Empire, so...
Yeah, and they were like, oh, let's build a bunch of fortresses and stuff to sort of quell the greenskin population. And that's sort of how the various principalities were formed around those. But, yeah, you can go and, like, pretty much whatever you can imagine as far as, like, human biomes or, like, anything sort of analogous to our own world, you could feasibly make a table out of, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
So, as long as it was like, I don't know. I really like the idea of like ancient Egyptian architecture, just on like a green mat or something. I thought that was pretty
cool. Just abandoned in a forest somewhere.
Yeah, like they built like a tomb or something, and just like someone came and was like, "Oh, look at that. That's interesting."
See, I've got leftover core foam, and I've got a green mat, and now you make me want to do it.
I'm not going to stop you.
See, that's what we want to do. We want to get people to start getting out there making some terrain. So
I think I saw on Etsy there's a bunch of 28 mil, 32 mil stuff that you can just buy. It's not particularly expensive. I don't know what the quality would be like, but there's always ideas out there. Yeah, so.
Damn you.
Well, you should do it. I it's just like a weird and wacky idea. And I thought, yeah.
Not that it'd be pretty cool to see something like that.
Yeah, so...
like a clashing of cultures just sort of on a table.
Yeah, it's definitely like... and it's... Look, the rule book right there.
It's a big book.
It's definitely... sort of like your empire sort of like got sort of gothic... sort of Renaissance architecture.
Yeah.
European... And your Britonia, which is sort of like semi-elven, I want to say. Very sort of Arthurian, you know, white wall nonsense. And, you know, if you were like, oh, my table's based somewhere else, gives you a little more opportunity to put a little more flavor into it.
If you want to add flavoring, I'm just touching base back on that little ziggurat kind of thing you're talking about. You could always play it as a Temple of Skulls as part of the rules.
Oh, what is the Temple of Skulls?
Oh, so in the actual rule book, there's different terrain does different things in 8th edition. All right.
Yeah.
So Temple of Skulls, at the beginning of each player's turn, the Temple of Skulls basically favor of the Chaos Gods. On a roll of a 2d6, randomly choose one characteristic, increase it by d3 points. On a roll of a 1, the bottle is just dead and goes away, dies as casualty.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that idea. It's almost like you don't have to be like Chaos Gods. It could be like the Nehekarin.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe on that roll of a 1, they open the wrong sarcophagus and get eaten by like flesh-eating scarabs or something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like the Mummy's Curse or something. Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty cool.
You can even
or we can it, use like, it as an anvil of Vol.
What is an anvil of
Vol? Oh, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. Any within 6 inches have both magical and flaming attacks.
I kind of like the idea that it could kill a dude. Like it's like the curse of the Mummy or something.
Mm.
The anvil of Vol seems to be like there's no downside to it. Sort of like, do you see
Temple of Skulls is better?
The Temple of Skulls. Yeah, I like that. I like that better. Now that you've pulled out the rule book, obviously there's ideas right in that rule book for various things. I forgot that there were terrain rules in Warhammer Fantasy. Too much Horus Heresy. Actually, no, wait, no, that's up late.
Yeah, we'll save that for after dark.
After dark. So...
Kemrian Quicksand.
Oh, there you go.
So, monster's infantry or monstrous cavalry that fail dangerous to rest in the Kemrian Quicksand remove his casualties. No armor saves allowed.
Oh, dear.
Interesting.
Run your minotaurs through that.
Ugh, minotaurs are crappy enough as it is.
Oh, so that's classified as a marshland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So if it's a marshland, like you could, go back to that sort of swamp, town table.
Yeah,
because there's rules for the hills, forests, rivers, marshlands, obstacles. It's just the generic ones that are in there. There's nothing stopping you from making your own terrain rules, I guess.
No, but it's always nice to sort of have inspiration and something go off. You can't, like, in my head, if it's like, oh, I'll get too close to the Temple of Skulls and you just die. It's nice.
There's got to be some risk to that reward, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Did you want to say anything else about that, Jack? That was it.
Well, I was just going to mention that, like, for us to go through how to make all this stuff, we'd be here for hours. But if you go on YouTube and just online in general, you'll be able to find heaps of talented hobbyists out there that can show you how to make a multitude of different terrain features. And you can just take those learnings and adapt them to whatever you're trying to make yourself. So yeah, that was just something I wanted to quickly get in there.
Green Stuff World at the moment, a lot of products.
I know you're a big fan of their Green Stuff rollers. I know you want a few of them, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of want to just build a tower and just like slap on some putty and just go for it. They just released a mold that makes like bricks and stuff, like walls, bricked walls that are really good for.
Like, oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, if you wanted to make like something from like, obviously it's Lord of the Rings, but Gondor, it's really appropriate. Kind of looks like white stone.
Mm.
So you can make Minas Tirith. Minas Tirith, particularly.
Osculius.
They have, you want to make like a river, I know they do UV resin. Ooh. I don't know if that would be very cost effective though.
You can just get like water effect bottles from, I think AK do it, AK Interactive.
If you want to go super cheap, you can just use
it's just like an air drying varnish sort of thing, but you can make like pools of liquid with it. If you don't want to invest in getting a UV lamp and stuff like that. You'd have to use a lot of PVA to do a revolt, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would have to use a lot of PVA. Vallejo have a water effect the same as the Dark Earth that we use?
Yeah, I've seen that, but I haven't used it, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't used the UV resin from Green Software, but I still want one.
Hmm.
But it looks expensive. They also do a polyurethane resin. It's quite simple to sort of to mix up, and you just chuck it in the molds. It's quite chalky, so I wouldn't go
dry. Oh, yeah.
But it's good for, like, you know, your walls, and it's quite light. You can make, like, towers and stuff out of them, which I intend to do. But they're great for everything, frankly. Green Stuff World are great at the moment. It feels like they kind of just look at someone and just be like, oh yeah, we can do that better. because they got heaps of paints now and stuff. Like, I've got a bunch of their inks and they're fantastic.
Yeah, it's like almost every second week or so they brought a new collection of paints or something. Range of hobby material.
Yeah, obviously they were the first ones who widely brought out the color shift paints.
They've always intrigued me.
Turbo Dork did it. I can't remember which one did it first.
Yeah, I feel like Turbo Dork may have done it after, but maybe I could be wrong. Oh, don't Vallejo do a version of those now as well?
I believe so.
Yeah,
Vallejo do everything.
Weren't we looking at them in the game store last time we were in Parramatta?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we did look at them. Yeah, they've got a few different ones.
Everyone's competing with each other at the moment. Scale making contrast paints, Vallejo are making color shift paints, and Green Stuff World are just making everything.
And it all benefits us.
That's true. So
variety is the spice of life.
Variety is the spice of life. I always have a bit of like a box of Milliput in my hobby box to make like
good thing to have. Stuff.
It's a good thing to have. It's good, nice, easy putty. Is it expensive? What is it, like $15 for a box?
Yeah. Milliput? I mean, if you're making rocks for bases, it's not that bad. But if you're trying to make a table of terrain,
if you're going to do a table like terrain, pasta, spack filler, man. Spack filler is key.
Yeah, I use a bit of spack filler on my AT stuff. And you just throw a bit of sand or something on it, and it's fine.
Well, my Blood Angels, all their bases are spack filler.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Righto. That's interesting. I would save it for terrain. Like, terrain you can go pretty cheap on. You don't want to get to a point where you spend thousands of dollars on a table.
I mean, if some people want to do that, more than welcome to do it. But at the end of the day, it's your hobby. You spend as much or as little as you want.
If you're just playing fantasy, you're never going to have a shit ton of terrain.
No, like we said before, you don't want to have too much because it detracts from the game.
Yeah, so you'd have like...
You can have a nice cool centerpiece of terrain. Yeah.
Yeah, just like you throw those things in for a little bit of flavor. Otherwise, most fantasy tables are going to be a couple of forests, a couple of rocky outcrops. Like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
A nice high hill for all those artillery pieces. Mm.
Or, your wizard's tower in the corner. You know, pretend like...
Yeah, bits and pieces like that.
Yeah, yeah. What was the dude's name? Nick Nicodermus or something from Mordheim? Was like a big wizard, big bad... Yeah, like a big bad wizard character, or maybe good wizard character, I don't know.
Nicodemus?
Nicodemus?
That doesn't sound familiar. I think he made it up.
Or may have made that up.
If anyone out there knows the actual answer, please write in to waterprincespodcast@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Or just slip us a DM on Instagram.
Sean, just slip something. Just slip the DMs into Sean.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, cool, sweet. So, yeah, lots of ideas there. It's when I first thought of the idea of doing the terrain focus for the Border Princes, I thought it'd be a little more focused than that. Because you could go completely wild and have like a barren table with like, you know, I don't know, just
some sandy like hills,
straw huts, or something,
just a pile of rocks, you know.
Yeah, it's not
nothing
super,
wrong with that.
Super focused. So next time we might do like dwarven holds and sort of like something focused on that
specific faction.
Yeah, specific faction. Yeah,
pretty cool. We sort of thought this is the namesake of our podcast, so we should do that area first, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty general area. It's got a pretty diverse climate, so
yeah,
anything goes.
So representing, maybe quickly talk about representing the Border Princes as like factions on the tabletop. You'd probably just use Empire. But maybe like shy away from too many guns. So obviously cannons and steam tanks. Like you're gonna want
you won't have you're not gonna have a steam tank at the Border Princes.
Nah, fucking well, no, you're not going to. All the magic chariots or anything. But like, and you're probably gonna have most of your core. Like, you're not gonna have handgunners. You're gonna have bowmen and
crossbowmen, like that.
I can crossbows. Yeah, so it would be a stretch.
Nah, crossbows. Yeah, crossbows.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say the Border Princes are like akin to sort of Empire outcasts, guys who wanted to go out and, you know, make their own sort of their own wealth, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that most of the people who live in the Border Princes are like Kislev and Empire and Bretonian, like nobility, outcast nobility, exiled nobility, rather.
The Wild West.
Yeah, it's kind of like
of the fantasy world.
So, like, you could have
some Kislev bears down there, or
you could have, yeah. Well, I mean, you could have some bear riders if, like, you think they live down there, Sean. You fucking retard. So building the army on the table, I had a thought about maybe use your knights. Maybe you could use some Bretonian models. Mix it up, just have like
so a sort of more like a mercenary inspired,
more
army?
Like mercenaries, yeah, yeah, just
yeah,
like
that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, so you could have like Bretonians as your knights, just like if you wanted to mix it all up. Obviously, you'd want a consistent color scheme. Like, I wouldn't go fucking
individual heraldry, like the
individual
Bretonians
heraldry
do.
Or something. Yeah, probably the way I imagine it, they'd probably be like, just a bunch of bad dudes if they got exiled from Bretonnia. Like, they'd have to be
shamed.
Pretty shameful people, so they probably just follow one guy, you know, Berthold the Black or something. And he, all the knights are painted black. That, you know, whatever. Yeah, so crossbows, like, and you could use some different miniatures as well. So like Perry miniatures do a lot, like a lot of different stuff, like War of the Roses and Lanshnik, obviously. So you don't have to. I mean, if you want to use, you do use whatever you want. That's the thing. This area is
Kings of War do some good ones as well.
Yeah, they do.
There's so many different fantasy companies out there now.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all pretty appropriately sized. I mean, Perry Miniatures, the Perry brothers used to work for GW, so essentially they look identical to like 4th and 5th edition Empire and Dogs of War and stuff. So, yeah, so you got a few ideas there. Yeah, I'll probably just steer clear of too many guns. Obviously, there would be guns, you know, maybe just put them on your characters, like your pistols and whatever. You know, your warrior priest of Sigmar could be a warrior priest of, a warrior priestess, rather, maybe, of Myrmidon. They're like...
Go find some of the old Sisters of Sigmar models.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You just get your hand on one of those, and that can be your warrior priestess. But yeah, and obviously, yeah, wizards and stuff. I'd probably not have witch hunters, specifically. Although you could. There's no reason why you couldn't, I suppose.
There's no reason why one of them couldn't have traveled down there and enlisted some of their help. And
yeah, maybe on a grim night, one of the principalities is having some sort of zombie problem. Or,
yeah.
You know, maybe occupants of their villages are going missing. Ooh-wee. I mean, there's a whole like role-playing idea right there.
It'd be really fun to see things like that as well, you know.
Yeah, do something a little
different. Creative armies.
not just run your 50 spearmen, your 50 high elf spearmen with
Banner of the Sea, Banner of the World Dragon.
Yeah, Banner of the World Dragon.
Well, you'd probably run
Shadow Mage with what is it? Ockram's Mind Razor.
Oh yeah, Ockram's Mind Razor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strength 8 spears.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we don't. Anyway, lots of ideas there. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Did I not say the word unit filler enough?
Oh no. Yeah, unit fillers are great, aren't they, Sean?
You wouldn't even have to paint 50 spearmen. You could just have 10, right? And then just have 10 cake toppers, just like pillars, just in behind.
Yeah.
Have I told you guys to go fuck yourselves lately?
I don't know, at least once more.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, say it once more and I'll believe you.
If you don't understand that, go back and listen to episode 1.
Episode 1. Yeah, lots of ideas there. So, yeah, cool, sweet. So, Border Princes, done and dusted. We
for
never
now,
have to talk about them. For now, we never have to talk about them again. Yes.
Good chat.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I think we sort of covered everything we needed to about that. You know, like we said before, obviously we're going to do something similar to this again for... like more specifically for a faction, you know, rather than like a general area. I think it'll be easier to do something like that than it is for like an entire region of the Old World.
Yeah, it was a little more generic than I thought it was going to be honest, when I had the idea.
Yeah. I mean, when we may look at Lustria at some point, because then obviously the flora and fauna are going to be very different to Old World.
Well, that's what I want to do. Yeah, I want to do a jungle table.
Yeah.
Yeah, for our Lustria campaign, when we do that.
When we're allowed to see each other face-to-face again.
Yeah, well, when we're allowed to see each other face-to-face, I want to do a Triumph and Treachery.
Oh, boy.
Uni is on, so we'll probably do that at the end of the year. Maybe do Christmas Triumph and Treachery.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
The winner gets to meet Santa. Yeah.
The winner gets to meet Santa. The winner gets to shit on Santa's lap. Anyway, do you guys have fantasy tables? Because I don't.
So I'm working on my Dwarven Realms table, sort of.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah.
So, yeah. Which one did we talk about that one in the Skaven episode, didn't we?
Ah, geez, we might have.
I think so.
That's not coming out for a while.
Long story short, it's a Skaven Dwarven Elf kind of thing that's going to be scale ambiguous. I can use over multiple systems. Very dwarf focused with potential for Skaven to ransack it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
And Jack, you just have a green mat that you throw outcrops onto, right?
Yeah, for now. I'm going to do like a big graveyard table, like a swampy graveyard.
Yeah, buddy.
Is there a GW thing that like a mausoleum or something they make?
Yeah, I've got 3 of them.
3 of them?
Yeah, I got one for my birthday.
Do they make those anymore?
Yeah, they make them. They used to be individual kits, and the new one's like a double kit. So like, I would have 3 of the original kit, so to say.
Okay.
So, will I use all of it? Probably not, but it gives me room to play around with cutting up a few buildings and things like that.
Cool. Well, watch out for that in the near future. So I'll just quickly recap. South of the Reich may not happen. At least the first event in August, because we're all locked down. So we were going to do a sort of a post chit chat, and we might get someone else on, Tom Gould or someone at least.
I think Tom Gould would be actually the Great Gouldini would be the next best person, just because he's so brand new to fantasy to get his take on it.
Well, it'd be good to talk to him because you two are a team, yes. So that would be the most logical.
My
sort of
protege, my apprentice, if you will.
You're a fantasy apprentice. So yeah, we'll see what happens. That's my next sort of idea. But yeah, go look at Eye of Horus if you don't already, because we'll be on their feed. And we also found it on Podbean. Without any closing remarks, gentlemen?
Stick around for Upload if you want to.
Covered everything, but I want to see people tag us in some cool terrain that they're painting.
So yeah, buddy.
Tag us. I'd like to see what people are working on.
Yep, go tag us on Instagram at the Border Princess Podcast. And stick around for the Upload where we're going to tell... just a little disclaimer. If you are... I mean... I don't recommend this podcast for children either, but I definitely...
Aren't we supposed to put this disclaimer at the start of the episode?
Look, it's not that bad. Like, you know, we drop some swear words in, but I don't think it's that bad. But yeah,
Upload's going to be worse.
You must be 18 to listen to the After Dark episode.
Of Legal Age. Gets a little
blue. Yeah. So yeah, stick around for that. Thank you for listening if you have been all the way through this horrible ramble.
Bye, guys.
Bye.